We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who took on sin unto death on a cross for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love and for your sacrifice. And so we've gathered here this day, Lord. We've gathered to praise your name, to hear a word from you, a word of love, a word of hope, a word of peace. Speak, Lord Jesus, for we're listening. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak, because we need to hear from you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And here we are. Here we are today at the end of a journey. Life is filled with journeys. Journeys begin and journeys end. Amen? And we want it to end well. You know, there's a song that we sing that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. That has been my mantra. No turning back. Whatever it is, no one living or dead is going to turn me back from following Jesus. The cross before me, and the world behind me, no turning back. It is said that this song was based on the last words of an Assam man who converted to Christianity in the middle of the 19th century. And he had been brought to Christianity by an American Baptist missionary. And he said to have recited the verses from John chapter 12 as he and his family were being killed. No turning back. We make a decision at some point in our lives to follow Jesus. I think this is working. Okay, I need to go back. Sometimes it gets a little trickier. Well, we'll see. Oh, that's the right slide. Good, good, good. Thank you. And we know that when following Jesus, we don't see the path clear ahead of us when we're following God as Christians. And this picture shows you, you decide to follow Jesus, you see where the footsteps are, but you don't know what is ahead of you. You don't know where you're going to be stepping next. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, I am now I'm living in a condo over here in East Meadow, and there is no television yet. I've been there since Tuesday, there is no internet, so to speak. There's a television sitting there. No internet, because I had forgotten, got so busy I did not order it, because I'm busy moving. And so when I ordered the internet, the gentleman said, they said, you know, Verizon, it will come on the 26th, of Tuesday the 26th or the 27th, whatever day it is. And so I said, you know, I start thinking, because you know, if you live alone, you know, as pastors, those of us who are not married or divorced, we learn after a while to live alone. It becomes, if you are in a parsonage, you leave your families and you're living alone. I remember the first time when I was appointed to go to Connecticut, would be the first time I would be away from my family, my daughter and my granddaughter. She probably wasn't born then, I think, no, and my husband at the time. And the first 6 months, I was so lonely. Lonely because you would, a big parsonage with 4 or 5 bedrooms, and because they're made for families, these parsonage, right? And so it had, you know, big rooms. And I remember being so lonely. Because, you know, even when I traveled for business in corporate, you always came home to someone, right? You came back, you would be in a plane, you know, it was temporary. But here you're appointed, and you have to live there. And I mean, I was so lonely that I would cry from loneliness, you know. Sometimes at night I wanted to talk to someone, you know, and not so much on the telephone. I got a little better at talking to people on the telephone later years, but I wasn't very big on that. And you would just, but you began to learn because you've done it for Christ. And then you had to learn that city. By the time they move you, I didn't know east or west in that city, north or south. You get lost, you're trying to figure it out while you're preparing for church. And my first month there was July 2002, I believe. A family called, and a family member was dying in the hospital. She had Alzheimer's. She had been in a home. And they called the new pastor. It was July 1. And I had to go visit. And I couldn't find the place. I didn't even think I was, that's 13 years ago. No, about 10 years, less than that, because I was there for 13 years. I don't think I was using the GPS, or GPS was as, and I had to look at my little map to try to find where I was going. You know, and I called up one of the members and I said, I've got to go up to this Methodist home and I have to find this family. And then within that week, I had to plan a service, a funeral, within the week, the first week. Now, I had been serving in Brooklyn, but I was under a senior pastor for 2 years. And you had to figure it out. You had to do a lot of praying and figure it out. Amen? Because you're placed there. And over the years, you get better at living alone. Over the years, I've gotten better and better and better of staying by myself. So last night, you know, so when they told me there was no TV, there's no internet till next week. And I said, but I need the internet. And then a voice said, no, you don't. You know how to do this. So I said, maybe I could get on my iPad, you know, and look at something. Maybe I could get a Wi-Fi, you know, in the building. You know, ask them for Wi-Fi. But since last Tuesday, other from my iPad, to do some things on, I haven't had the internet. I get into my place and I don't have a radio. And I can sit there and read the Bible. I looked at the Wi-Fi a couple of times in the silence of living alone. I could not have done that at the beginning of my journey. I would have been overwhelmed. And now I have been staying there in silence in that place. Maybe I was talking to myself sometimes, who knows? As long as I don't answer myself, I'm all right. up to today, and the silence of being with God. And when you know that you have made the choices to follow Jesus, then you can what? Bear these little things. Because that was just an inconvenience. This morning I was getting up to put on the TV to hear the service. I like to listen to this one service. And then I remembered, you can't do that. The TV's sitting right there, not plugged in. But when you follow Jesus, everything, these things become secondary. Many pastors today, my colleagues, a few of us are retiring, but others are moving. And they don't know where they're going, don't know what's going to happen, but we have said yes to following Jesus. Some leave good-looking parsonages, and they end up in parsonages that don't look that good. But we have said yes to following Jesus. And Jesus never says it's going to be perfect. Never said it's going to be wonderful. But we go, we pack our stuff, we go, we try to figure it out, we go into a new community, we try to find the stores, we try to find whatever, we can't find a supermarket, and there are times we have to find new doctors. Right? You realize you're going to keep you there for a while. You have to change your doctors. You got to change your thing on your car. I used to have Connecticut plates because I was there for 11 years. And after the third year, you got to get new plates. Now I have New York plates. These are the luxuries that you think about. But when you follow Jesus, they are secondary. And you learn to do it. Next slide. And so in that John text, that we heard, or it's Luke, what it's really saying is when we're following Jesus, we give up our comforts, our conveniences, and our choices. We give up our comforts, right? The way we normally have it. And our choices, we follow Jesus. And there are times, friend, we don't want to move. We do not want to move from where we are. I don't mean retirement. That is something different. It is mandatory. But there are times they put you in a church for 3-4 years and you don't want to move. You just get in to know the community and the bishop calls and say you got to move. And you have no choice in the matter. But we are following Jesus. We complain and the bishop says, but you've got to go. Because when we are ordained, we say what? Yes to the bishop. We are itinerant pastors. We go where we're sent. They'll take you from Brooklyn and send you to the Catskills. I always used to pray, God, please don't send me to the Catskills. I don't want to go to the Catskills. Nothing is wrong with the Catskills. But I don't want to live up here in the country. I'm not a country person. Put me in a suburb or in a city. Thanks be to God, it didn't happen. Although the other day they wanted me to go up to the Catskill. I says, oh no, as an itinerant, as a retired pastor. And so here we are at the stage of my ministry. And we're talking about now, next slide, finish the race. Right? We are called to finish the race. Each appointment we make, each appointment we're sent to, is a race. Each appointment, each time they send us, we're running the race of our life. We're running it for that time. And you know something? Many people can start the race, but only few finish. See, starting the race is easier. Have you ever watched folks running, right? And they're going to be running the 100 meter or certainly the marathon, and they start well. Have you ever seen some runners that start well? And by the time they're getting close, they're out of breath, they're falling. Because the idea is not just starting the race, but it's finishing the race. Finishing for Christ. That is what Paul is going to talk about. You see, friends, there's a cost to following Jesus. All of us, me and you, all of us, there's a cost. You see, we can't follow Jesus unless we believe in God. God and Jesus are not separate entities. We as Christian believers, you can't say, well, Jesus over here is nicer than the God over here. Yes, we can say it, but we know it's a three-in-one relationship. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't follow one and don't follow the other. It's three-in-one. And all it's happening when we read the Bible is just the different manifestation of God as Christian believers. Number two, we can't follow Jesus unless we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Cannot follow him unless we accept him that he is our Lord and Savior. And we believe that he's Savior of the entire world. Number three, we cannot follow Jesus without sacrifice. We sacrifice. How do we sacrifice? We get ill and we still follow Jesus. We lose our jobs and we still follow Jesus. We can't pay our bills and we still follow Jesus. We make the determination and the sacrifice to follow him no matter what. Amen, church? No matter what, we make the determination to follow Jesus. And so, next slide. This runner says, I never thought of stopping. And friends, no matter what, I never thought of stopping. Through thick and thin, to burying my dead, to burying my brother, burying my mother, and all of you have had your own death and sicknesses. We have all had it. I happen to be preaching today, so I could give you my experience. When I got into ministry, my father already had gone, but when I got into ministry, I would end up burying my mother and the other people around, but I'm talking about my immediate family, and then I'd bury my brother. But I never thought of stopping. No thought. And then there was a moment of sickness. Thank God I've been well, other than when I had that terrible nerve pain. And I never have thought of stopping. I've been beat up on. I've been, you know, we get beat up on in life, right? Ups and downs, trial, family, this, that. And I've never thought of stopping to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And so Paul says, friends, Paul says here, as I come down, Paul says in this statement, I've thought about this many times, and I've read this many times. Paul says, I didn't mean to go up. Did I do that? That sticks. Yes, let it stay there, please. I might have hit it, so let me put it down. Paul says, Apostle Paul says to young Timothy, as I say to you, and I remind myself, friends, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight of faith, no matter what. Because I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that he is my Lord and Savior. And if it's the only thing I ever do here, is to teach you that Jesus is Lord. There's no other God but Jesus. And so, I fought through thick and thin. through pain and sorrow and joy, through ups and downs, through knowing and not knowing. I fought for Jesus. I fought for Jesus in all things and in all places. And who knows what tomorrow brings. I finished the race here. I finished the race here. Paul was writing this when he knew he was going to go home to be with the Lord. I'm praying that the Lord has more work for me to do. So I finished the race here. And there's more race for me to run. I'm older, yes. I have more aches and pains. But I believe that God is not through with me yet. That I got more to give. And most of all, friends, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith of Jesus Christ. There is no one can say or ever say that I have never encouraged them concerning Jesus, telling you that he loves you, that he always will. And so, friends, as we come to this part of the journey, I feel humbled and privileged to be a servant of Jesus Christ. 10 years ago, on a Sunday, July 1, 2013, the Lord sent me here, and I stood in that pulpit, and you welcomed me. And through that time, I told you about Jesus. What a blessing it's been to be your pastor. What a blessing it has been to serve you. And I pray that I have pleased the Lord. I pray that I have pleased God. I pray that whatever I've done, I've pleased him. In all things, that is my intention, to please Jesus, to do what he has called me to do. I've heard people say things, and I didn't do this, and I do that, but Jesus knows. I hope he is pleased with me today. As I move on from this place. And so God bless you, my friends. Next slide. And then one day, when I see him, because one day I will see him, you see. My whole life is living to see him. I'll hear him say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my glory." One day. And you too, Christian believers, you too, you're running your own race for Jesus here, in your church, in your life. And if you continue to do it, one day you'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God bless all of you. I'll miss you. I'll miss you, but I'll know you're doing well. God is sending a pastor here, a new pastor, someone I know, and I know she'll take care of all of you. Amen.